Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Spurs Up Show, best Gamecocks podcast on the internet. Today is Monday, August the 2nd, 2021. Today's show, we begin our 2021 position unit preview series. Guys, today we are breaking down the Gamecocks quarterbacks heading into 2021 football season. Guys, I'll break down the position in its entirety. First things first, though, we'll look back at how the quarterbacks performed in 2020. Also, we'll meet the QBs on this year's roster, talk about most approved, best overall, season will be successful if, and I will give my overall grade for the Gamecocks quarterbacks heading into 2021 football season. Also, guys, we've got news and notes to get into, your listener questions, and a fantastic conversation, a great interview. Former Gamecocks offensive lineman Gavin Bennett joined me for a really insightful conversation, guys, one that I know you are sure to enjoy. Before we get to everything, this is a podcast to you by our friends over at Upstate Movers Group. Guys, Upstate Movers Group, superior moving service. They bring care and attention the companies can't offer because they're just too busy maintaining trucks and profiting off of them instead of focusing on service. Guys, service what separates Upstate Movers Group from the competition. They're not a trucking company. They're a moving services company, and they're also employee-owned co-op. Their movers are paid twice the industry average, and everyone on the crew is invested in your success. They have dedicated professional crew members, and they also offer black glove service. They offer end-to-end packing services, custom crating and packaging for special items, and cleaning services as well. They're founded by Greenville natives and University of South Carolina alumni, guys, so a Gamecock-owned small business. They also offer 20 years of project management moving experience, and they can offer logistics and solutions that traditional moving companies simply do not have the skills for. Guys, whether in the upstate or across the state of South Carolina, if you have any moving needs in 2021, be sure to check out our friends over at Upstate Movers Group. You can find them on social media at Upstate Movers Group. Of course, guys, if you have any other questions, go to their website, upstatemoversgroup.com. That's upstatemoversgroup.com. Be sure to check them out and tell them Chris from the Spurs Up Show sent you. Let's get it. Boys and girls, happy Monday. Hope you're all doing well. I'm Chris Phillips, host of the Spurs Up Show, as always. Appreciate you guys tuning in, guys. Not only is it Monday, but it is Monday, August the 2nd. Folks, congratulations. Give yourself a round of applause. We have made it. There is Carolina football on the field in this here month of August. I know you're saying, Chris, we don't kick off till September 4th. I know that, but are none of you looking ahead to fall camp and just the Gamecocks will be putting the pads on in the month of August? There's also football in the month of August, right? We love the month of August. There's football this month. Hey, even if it's preseason, I don't give a damn. We get to watch football this month, folks. Appreciate you all tuning in. I am fired up here on a Monday. And again, thank you all so much for the continued love and support. Continue to rock with our content, rock with the business, rock with everything we're doing. Appreciate you guys so, so much. I also want to start the show and say thank you to everyone who made this weekend memorable. Went up to Charlotte, hung out with a buddy of mine, saw some old friends of mine, saw some Gamecocks in the city. It was a blast. So we love the Charlotte Gamecocks. Charlotte Gamecocks, if I ran into you over the weekend in Charlotte, thank you all so much for the love and support, man. It's so cool. There's honestly nothing cooler than meeting with you guys and talking to you guys and you guys going out of your way to show your love and support. I truly, truly do appreciate that. Also, guys, one quick update before we dive in the show. As you probably saw on social media, the Beamer Ball and Welcome Home koozies are in. If you have ordered those koozies, they will be being shipped out this week. So just a quick update. I apologize for you guys' patience. I'm very, very sorry it took so long. I did not know my vendor was going to take their sweet time to get the koozies over to him. But I'll tell you guys this. Number one, you'll have them before kickoff. That's a given. They're getting shipped out this week. You should have them in a couple of days. These koozies, though, incredible. The quality is unreal. The garnet is perfect. They turned out great, and you guys are going to absolutely love these koozies. Also, if you're interested in buying one, tsus.store. That's tsus.store. They are right there at the top of our store, of the homepage of the store, if you will. You can also click the koozies tab, and they will be in there as well. But again, tsus.store. And again, thank you all so much for those. We've had plenty of people buy them. Thank you all so much, though, for you guys' patience and understanding. I truly do appreciate it. Those will be shipped out this week. I'm really actually, as you're hearing the sound of my voice today, here on this Monday, trying to get them all shipped out by end of day today. We'll see if I do that, but that is the plan. That is the goal. So again, thank you all so much for love and support there. If you want to buy a koozie, tsus.store, the ultimate game day koozie. Again, it says Beamer Ball on one side, Welcome Home on the other. I feel like it's a koozie. I know it's a koozie you have to have for kickoff this season. It's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. All right. I'm also very excited because let's dive in the show, guys. As I told you before, we've done this each and every single preseason the last couple of years. If you've been following the content, following me, following the Spurs Up show for any period of time, you know what I'm talking about, the position unit previews. And what we do, we break down each position unit on the Gamecocks football team, starting with quarterback. We'll do running back, wide receiver, tight end, O-line, D-line, linebacker, special teams, secondary, you name it. Every single position group we will break down. And today, we begin the 2021 position unit preview series for Gamecocks football, heading into Shane Beamer's first season. This will take us, by the way, all the way into kickoff as we break down every single position unit on the Gamecocks football team. And we're going to start with the most important position on the field, and that is the guys under center. That is the quarterback position. That is one that is certainly going to be talked about, discussed, highly criticized, highly critiqued, and highly debated as we count down the days to kickoff, just 33 days away from another Carolina kickoff. So let's start it off, guys. We're talking quarterbacks. Before we look ahead, though, we got to look back the year that was in 2020, and what a strange year it was for the Gamecocks quarterbacks position. What's crazy, you got to go back even farther, right? The end of 2019. And I think most of us looked at the quarterback position and felt like, you know what? The future of this position is set. There's no doubt. Ryan Helinski coming off the season he had in 2019 after taking over for Jake Bentley. You're thinking to yourself, okay, he's taken over as our starter. He's our guy. He's our quarterback. Well, lo and behold, that's not what happened, as you all recall and you know. Mike Bobo hired in the preseason last year. He brings Colin Hill along with him from Colorado State, and the quarterback battle, the quarterback competition was on. Of course, as we all know, Colin Hill wins the job about 2 weeks before kickoff, and he plays what I think he started 8 of the 10 games last year for South Carolina. Went 127 to 215, 1,411 yards passing, 6 touchdowns, and 6 interceptions. And it wasn't Ryan Helinski who got the majority of the snaps outside of Colin Hill. It was Luke Doty who started the final 2 games of the 2020 season. He went 43 of 71, 405 yards, 2 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. Guys, get this. Ryan Helinski only went 4 of 6. He only threw 6 passes last year for 34 yards. I don't think there were many people that would have predicted that going in the season, but lo and behold, that's what happened. Colin Hill won the job. And I know, listen, we could debate Helinski, Bobo, and that entire mess for years and years to come, but I'm going to spare you and I'm not going to do that. But again, the quarterback position, a position last year that, you know, I was one, believe it or not, that I was actually defending Colin Hill at every single turn because I saw there were issues beyond the quarterback position with that South Carolina football team last year. But guys, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. And while Colin Hill was serviceable, I got nothing negative to say about the guy. But you know what? When you have a guy who has concrete shoes on and isn't a dynamic playmaker and who can't make things happen, I think that's why you saw the offense struggle at times. That's why you saw the inflated sack numbers. And in turn, the Gamecocks were not spectacular offensively. We've seen it in college football. You've got to have that dynamic guy. Colin Hill gave you all he could. And Luke Doty was a true freshman. Heck, they didn't even have him at quarterback to start the 2020 football season. Now he comes into this season as QB1. With that being said, 2021, let's turn the page. Let's meet the quarterbacks on this Gamecocks roster heading the 2021 football season. Of course, Luke Doty, a redshirt freshman. You've got Jason Brown, a redshirt senior. Colton Gauthier, a true freshman. Connor Jordan, a redshirt sophomore. And Jake Helfrich, a true freshman. So they've got those guys all battling, all competing for the starting job, which of course right now Luke Doty is your QB1. Shane Beamer naming him the starting quarterback immediately following the spring game just a few months ago. Guys, let's move into most to prove, best overall, season will be successful if, and I'll give my overall grade for the Gamecocks quarterbacks unit heading a 2021 football season. First, we will talk most to prove. And for the sake of the conversation, I try to list different players under each of these categories. Because, for example, this one, we could just list Luke Doty really for everything, right? And I know there's, you know, it's been kind of interesting. On a side note, there hasn't been quite as much conversation around the quarterback position this preseason as I expected there to be. And I think the reason for that is because Shane Beamer went ahead and named Luke Doty the starter right after the spring, and he has not budged off of that at all. He said Luke Doty has done nothing. He talked about it at SEC Media Days. He's talked about it at every single turn he's gotten the opportunity. He said Luke Doty has done nothing to change our minds in that regard, that he should be the starting quarterback. However, you bring in a guy like Jason Brown, though, who's done what he's done at the FCS level. Again, I think that was genius of Shane Beamer for not allowing people like me, other media types, people on social media to sort of control the narrative and say, oh, is there a quarterback debate? Is there, you know, does South kind of know who their quarterback is? He nipped that in the bud quickly, named Luke Doty QB1. But when we talk most to prove, because, of course, Luke Doty's going to have a ton to prove, right? He does have a ton to prove that he can take control of this football team. He can be the field general. He can make plays. He can throw the football. Of course, that's highly criticized. For me, for the sake of the conversation, and because I think he does have a lot to prove, my most to prove for the Gamecocks quarterback's position actually is the newcomer from St. Francis, Jason Brown. And I'll tell you why. Again, this guy comes in, all these accolades, all these statistics. Of course, EJ Jenkins comes along with him, and he's got fans, and we got people talking about, oh, he should be the starting quarterback. Look how he throws. You know, he's got an NFL arm, this, that. Well, if Jason Brown is really going to be that dude, if he really is that dude, we should see him, if nothing else, push Luke Doty for playing time. I think no doubt we should see him push Luke Doty for playing time. Now, is he going to win the starting job? Guys, I don't tend to think so. I think Luke Doty is your starter. If he wasn't, Shane Beamer would not have gone out of his way to name him the starting quarterback. However, though, Jason Brown does have a skill set. He has a very valuable skill set. He might be the best passer on this football team. And for a football team that we know what the running game is going to give you, we know the deficiencies at wide receiver. We know tight end should probably be a strength. And I talk about you need to run the football. You got to play to your strengths. But, guys, you have got to throw it to win at some point. You have to be able to. And so I look at a guy like Jason Brown, again, very highly hyped, did what he did in the spring game. Of course, you know, his connection, he and EJ Jenkins is undeniable. Can he at least push Luke Doty? Can he make Luke Doty sweat a little bit? That's what I'm most looking forward to seeing again, because I think there's still going to be, obviously, even though Luke Doty's QB1, you know, there's still a quarterback battle going on. There's still a quarterback battle. There's still a quarterback competition, and I think it's healthy, right? Iron sharpens iron. I'd love to see Jason Brown sort of push Luke Doty a little bit. Hey, how much has Luke Doty improved his passing over the summer because of he feels the pressure from a guy like Jason Brown, who can obviously spin the football pretty damn well, if you ask me. So, again, my most to prove, I think there's a lot on the line for him, the newcomer from St. Francis, Jason Brown. When you talk best overall, let's move into that again. Best overall, guys, simply put, there is a reason he was named the starter immediately after the spring game. There's a reason he's your starting quarterback, Gamecocks quarterback, Luke Doty, to me. When I look at the quarterback position, he is the best overall on the roster. Guys, it's funny, though. When people talk about Luke Doty and they project his season and project him as a starting quarterback, and I know people love to knock his throwing ability, and I've told you guys, it's the worst narrative surrounding Gamecock football that Luke Doty cannot throw the football. It's just false. It's just a fallacy. Go look at the spring game. Go look at how Luke Doty performed. The kid can obviously spin it. Now, if you want to have the conversation of can Luke Doty be an elite passer week after week after week in the SEC, that's still TBD. We have not seen that yet. That is something he has to prove. Because, hey, I listed Jason Brown as the most to prove, but certainly, certainly, and again, like I told you, for the sake of the conversation, because certainly you could put Luke Doty in that. Luke Doty has a ton to prove taking over as the starting quarterback. Still a very young player. He's got to come into his own and develop. Luke Doty has a ton to prove. But when you look at the skill set, and it's so funny, I feel like people forget that, guys, Luke Doty was like a top 100 player. I mean, this was a four-star prospect. This was a high, very, very highly regarded kid coming out of Myrtle Beach. This isn't some walk-on. No offense to anybody. This isn't a walk-on. This isn't a guy that, you know, whatever. I mean, Luke Doty was a legitimate prospect and a big-time guy and really could have went anywhere. We know what he can do with his legs. A 4.440 he runs. He was the fastest guy on your football team last year, which is awesome for him. It was a little scary, I think, too. But Luke Doty, we know his athleticism. We understand what he can do with his legs. I say he can throw the football. I think he can spin it. Is he the most elite passer on your football team? Maybe not. But Luke Doty, in my opinion, from what I've seen, can spin it as good as almost any of them. He'll be fine. He can throw it well enough to win you football games, especially one of the reasons he is the best overall, guys, especially when you look at this offense. And I think what this offense needs, and it needs a guy, you know, we saw Colin Hill last year. Colin Hill had obvious limitations when it came to his speed, agility, or lack thereof. A guy like Luke Doty, again, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. A guy like Luke Doty, in my opinion, gives you a chance. Says, guys, guess what? I've said this once. I'll say it again. With wide receivers being the state where they are, a deficiency, let's call it for what it is, being a deficiency, and you're going to lean on the run game, guess what's going to happen a lot, guys? Luke Doty's going to drop back, and nobody is going to be open. Bottom line, that's it. That's what's going to happen. And guess what? You need a guy back there who can improvise, who can get outside of the pocket, who can make things happen with his legs, extend a play, let his receivers get open, run for 7 or 8 yards on third down, and get you that first down. That's what this offense needs. That's what it has not had. That's what it has not had since Connor Shaw left Columbia, South Carolina. And it's hurt you. It's killed you. It's killed you. These days, guys, how good these defenses are, you can't have a guy drop back five steps and be a statue. And the defensive ends, the linebackers, the defensive linemen, they're just too good. They're too athletic. They're too fast. They're too big. You just cannot have your quarterback being a sitting duck. So you've got to have a guy that can make plays. I look at a guy like Luke Doty. He has that skill set. And again, do not forget, this guy was a very, very, very highly touted prospect coming out of high school. To me, it's a no-brainer. He is the best overall quarterback on this Gamecocks 2021 roster. Let's move in. A season will be successful if. So when I say this, of course, exactly how it sounds is how it is. What will spell a successful season for the Gamecocks quarterbacks in 2021? Listen, I could just start rattling off statistics and they need to throw for this many yards and this completion percentage and this many touchdowns, yada, yada, yada. No, for me, the season will be successful for the Gamecocks quarterback position if Luke Doty can develop into a quality SEC starting quarterback. Listen, I understand that leaves a lot of room for statistics and that's a pretty vague answer. But, dude, it does not feel like we're starting from scratch right now. I mean, Luke Doty has started two games in his career. He's played in three. He took over last year into the season, which, by the way, I don't think it is fair or fans should make a habit of trying to judge Luke Doty for what he did in his limited time last year. Luke Doty took over when it was a complete train wreck. I mean, it was a complete dumpster fire. You can't really look back and say, draw conclusions about this guy based off of what he did in that limited time a season ago. That's just in my opinion. I don't think you can. But you're basically starting from scratch, right? A brand new system, brand new scheme, brand new head coach, brand new OC. And it feels like Luke Doty, even though he played last year, truly is a brand new quarterback, right? I don't know how many yards he needs to rush for. I don't know how many touchdowns he needs to throw. But what he needs to do is be a consistent ball player for South Carolina, a consistent quarterback that can show up, be the field general, lead his football team. See, that's something I know he's fast. I know he can throw the football. What I want to see Luke Doty in his transformation, especially early in this football season, I want to really be able to look out on the football field and see Luke Doty commanding his troops, commanding his huddle, being the leader of this football team. Because guess what, guys? If them 10 guys in the huddle don't believe in you, and those 70, 80 guys on the sideline, if they don't believe in you, it doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how good you are. If they don't believe in you, if they can't look at you and say, hey, this is my brother, this is my guy I'm going to war with each and every single week, if they can't look at you and identify you as that, then none of the other stuff matters. So I want to see Luke Doty. From what we've heard, by the way, he is a very well-liked kid. He loves being a Gamecock. It seems like his teammates really like him as well. And I want to see him become a consistent option week after week after week, where he is a quality SEC starting quarterback. Again, we've seen the rankings in the preseason, right? Luke Doty being ranked 13th or 14th, or some people ranking him 14th, you know, Pro Football Focus ranking him the 125th quarterback in college football. And I say this to South Carolina fans, the reason that's happening is, again, I don't think it's because Luke Doty isn't talented or won't be a good quarterback. He just simply hasn't played. He's just totally unproven. Nobody really knows what to think of him or knows what to think about him. Can he be a consistent quarterback for South Carolina week in, week out, and give this football team a chance to win? Because, guys, I'll tell you this. We've talked about it before. If South Carolina is going to go 6-6 or better, if they're going to go to a bowl game, you could argue the one thing that has to happen is Luke Doty has got to turn into that guy. Luke Doty has got to become a quality SEC starting quarterback. Because, again, guys, if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. I'm not saying Luke Doty's got to go be an All-American or All-Conference player, but he has got to turn into that dude. South Carolina will not get to a bowl game this season if we're in week 5, 6, 7 and we've got questions about, oh, well, who's QB1 going to be this week? And who's going to have a better week of practice this week? Or which Luke Doty's going to show up? You know, are the inconsistencies going to flare up? You can't have that be an issue on this football team. You already are facing an uphill climb with all the questions you have right now. This is the question you have got to have a positive answer to. I talked to you guys a lot about, you know, there are so many questions on this football team, and the odds realistically that all of them go in your favor, you know, it's just not realistic, right? But this is a question mark that has to be solved. This is a question mark that has to be solved if you are going to win 6 games or more, in my opinion. So again, very simple. What will spell a successful season for the Gamecocks quarterbacks in 2021? Simply put, Luke Doty developing into a quality, consistent SEC starting quarterback. That's it. All right, let's move to overall grade for the Gamecocks quarterbacks in 2021. You know, like I said, guys, there are a lot of question marks surrounding this group. I think there's a lot of talent in this room. I like Luke Doty a lot, as I've been talking about all preseason. I think Jason Brown does bring an interesting dynamic in regards to his throwing ability. Can he push Luke Doty? Obviously, we've seen his statistics and what he did at St. Francis with E.J. Jenkins. I like Colton Gauthier a lot, probably a lot more than some people. I think Colton is going to be a guy that's going to push for some playing time. Again, I don't expect him to play a lot as a true freshman. It's like drinking water out of a fire hose right now. But Colton Gauthier, you know, we had him on the show last year, friend of the show. He's got the moxie. He's got the intangibles. A big kid, too, like 6'3". I think he's going to give you some quality depth there, especially as a young player. And then you have Connor Jordan and Jake Helfrich, which, hey, Shane Beamer has glowing reviews about Connor Jordan and what he's done for you as well. But again, while there's talent, there are so many unknowns. Again, your leading quarterback, leading returner, 43 of 71, 405 yards, 2 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. We know about Luke Doty's upside, but those are the facts, those are the stats. And, oh, by the way, the other guys, Jason Brown, Colton Gauthier, Connor Jordan, Jake Gilbert, they have never taken the field for South Carolina ever. So with that being said, I look at the quarterback position, guys. I like the talent. I like the upside. I think it will be a positive and a plus, and I think Luke Doty will blossom into it. At worst, a consistent option for South Carolina, where there will not be any debate or any, you know, any talk of, oh, we should change quarterbacks. Like, I think Luke Doty does give this football team the best chance to win. With that being said, though, the question marks, I'm going to give the quarterbacks going in the 2021 football season a C grade overall. Again, I give them a C because it's kind of like, I like the talent, but I also am really not sure what to think about them. A C is kind of right there in that middle, if you will. I'm giving them a C. I think it's a very fair grade. And I'll be honest with you guys, I think a C is probably a lot nicer than some people would be when you're talking Luke Doty and you're talking South kind of quarterback. So again, give me a C overall grade for the Gamecocks quarterback position heading into the 2021 football season. So guys, that's going to wrap up our position unit preview for the Gamecocks quarterbacks heading into Shane Beamer's first season. Like I said, guys, we'll talk running backs on Thursday's show. And again, we'll break down each and every single position unit, and that will literally lead us into kickoff. As like I said, we count down just 33 days away now from another Carolina kickoff. Absolutely cannot wait for September the 4th. Guys, let's get into news and notes and your listener questions, and we'll dive into our interview as well. News and notes over the weekend. Hey, Texas OU, it is officially official. I know we talked about this a lot last week, but it's officially official. Texas, Oklahoma are leaving the Big 12. They have accepted an invite to come to the SEC, looking like it's going to be 2025. But, you know, long story short, yourself, Gunn, I posted this on social media last week, late in the week, but you're the Gamecocks, the plan doesn't change. The plan doesn't change. Recruit, develop, build, establish your culture, and go win football games. It's already the toughest conference. You know, do I love it? I'll be totally honest. Do I love it? Not necessarily. But if you're South Carolina, again, the plan doesn't change. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Guess what? Go recruit, go develop, go win. At the end of the day, that's all that really matters. How will this shake up the actual conference in regard to East and West? Will there be pods? What does this mean for the Big 12? What does this mean for college football? That's what I'm more so intrigued about for South Carolina. Hey, business as usual. Hey, guess what? You're already in the toughest conference. As Shane Beamer said last Monday, if Texas and OU, they want to come get some, they can come get some, and certainly they're going to. 2025, it sounds like, is when this is going to go into effect. But who knows? This thing might not be over. Texas OU might try to push this thing. They might try to push this thing through. They might try to push this thing through and get to the SEC sooner rather than later. But again, it is official. Texas, Oklahoma officially in the SEC. Also, guys, on the basketball side of things, AJ Lawson signing a one-year deal with the Miami Heat. I'll tell you this. I was a little surprised he didn't get drafted. I was a little surprised AJ Lawson was not picked up. But again, he did sign a one-year deal with the Heat. Also, the fall camp schedule, the official camp for South Carolina football, released on, what was that, Friday afternoon, I believe. I think Friday afternoon that was. It was Friday afternoon. The big news out of it, and I know what we all hate, I hate it, no open practices and no fan day. I due to concerns around the coronavirus, the pandemic, what have you. Listen, I'm not going to get into some spiel or some long thing about the pandemic and this, that, whatever. I totally understand it. I get why they're doing it. The last thing you want to do is have close interaction with fans and people that you have no idea if they're sick or what they're bringing to the facility. I get it. It sucks. I think fan day is a great thing for people, but unfortunately, you know, the world is what the world is, and, you know, we'll just kind of have to continue to roll with the punches. So no fan day, no open practices, unfortunately, but fall camp beginning Friday, August the 6th. Players will report on Thursday. Friday, August the 6th is when fall camp will get underway. Also, the Gamecocks, guys, just a quick note, we'll have two scrimmages at Williams-Brice Stadium Saturday, August the 14th. They'll scrimmage at Willie B, and then Saturday, August the 21st. The guys will scrimmage at Williams-Brice. Again, hey, if nothing else, though, you know what? Even though we can't go, football's in the air, folks. Football is in the freaking air. Thank goodness. It feels so, so good to say that. Like I said, as we count down to kickoff. All right, let's get into your listener questions, and we'll dive in our interview, guys. We'll start on Twitter. Zach O at Wacko Zacko underscore. Love that handle, my guy. He says, to get to six wins, which is your prediction, how many passing touchdowns do we need from starting quarterback, assuming it's Luke Doty? I say 22. How many passing touchdowns do you need to get to six wins? And 22 would put him right at, you know, just under two touchdowns per game through the air. I think that's fair. I'd say 20. I think 20 or more. And, you know, but I don't think you have to have 20. I think as long as he has more than 15. We'll say that. He's got to have more than 15. Again, I do expect us to be a run-heavy football team. And listen, you're going to want to be as balanced as you can, but we're going to play to our strengths. We're going to run the football. I think there's no question. He's got to have at least 15 in my mind, though, to have a solid season. And you have the non-conference back as well. You hope against teams like Troy, East Carolina, EIU, he can go out there and throw three or four touchdowns or whatever it might be, develop some confidence. But he's got to have at least 15. There's no question. He has to have at least 15 in my mind. And, yeah, because I think Luke Doty's going to run the football a lot. I think they're going to use his athleticism. They're going to use his legs, especially when you get around the goal line. But 15 or more in my mind, I would feel pretty good about that in regards to South kind of chances of getting to a bowl game with that type of stat line. Good question. Austin G underscore 45. We'll move to Instagram. Austin G 45. It feels like Doty is underrated because of last year he was a top 100 player for a reason. Austin G, couldn't agree more. I agree with you 110%. People forget, it seems, how highly touted of a prospect this guy was. Do not sleep on Luke Doty. Let's see. WM Thames, do you think all four will at least take a snap this year? Not a meaningful snap. You know, I think Colton Gauthier might see the field. You know, God forbid Connor Jordan. If those guys see the field, though, it will not be because they are pushing and fighting and winning the starting job. I think it'll more so be, hey, we're up 50-0 on EIU and we want to get Colton Gauthier some looks and get other guys some looks and get them on the field. I think that will be the case. So will they see the field at some point? Sure. But I don't want it to make it sound like they're going to see the field and, like, you know, be, you know, like Colton Gauthier is going to take Luke Doty's job. I don't see that happening in his first year. I don't see Connor Jordan making that type of push. I don't see Jake Helfrich doing it. I think Luke Doty's your guy. I think Luke Doty's your guy from start to finish this year. I'll predict that. Trip.Gooden, who's your number one guy? Luke Doty. No question. No question. And here's the thing, guys. I said this last year. I'll say it this year. Amidst the, you know, last year we were talking about the Hill-Helinski madness and people got so in their feelings about this, that. Guys, I don't care who the quarterback is. I just want to win football games. So as long as the guy is out there who's giving you the best possible chance to win, I don't give a damn who it is. Play whoever, but play the guy that gives you the best chance to win. With that being said, Shane Beamer has hitched his wagon to Luke Doty. So until Shane Beamer says otherwise, I'm riding with Luke Doty. And oh, by the way, also, I like his skill set. Again, like we just talked about, he's a top 100 player. He's a really, really good football player. I like Luke Doty a lot. I love the athleticism that he brings, guys. I told you, I think offensively that is going to be the biggest game changer for South Gun offensively, is the fact they finally have a guy again who can make things happen with his legs. Again, he's got to be able to throw the football. There's no question. He's got to be able to throw the football in some capacity. You have to throw it to win at some point. But, dude, his athleticism, that's something we have not seen from the quarterback position at South Carolina in so, so long. I think that's going to be a big-time game changer for this Gamecocks offense. Spencer Sox 1, what does Doty have to do in order for us to win 6-plus games this year? A lot of these questions are very similar. What Luke Doty needs to do, Spencer Sox, he needs to be the field general. Notice I don't say game manager, but he needs to be the field general. I don't want to make unfair comparisons and throw the name Connor Shaw around, but I think Luke Doty needs to be very, very similar to what Connor Shaw was for this football team. Again, hey, Connor Shaw was never named to an all-conference team. Connor Shaw was never an All-American. Connor Shaw, I think we all agree, was severely underrated and did not get the credit he deserved. But, guys, that's what Luke Doty needs to do. Don't turn the football over. Use your athleticism to make plays. When you throw it, be accurate, be efficient. Again, don't throw us out of a football game. Don't play us out of the game. Let your playmakers make plays. Get the ball in their hands. Like I said, make big plays when you can, especially using your athleticism, but be truly that field general. Again, I could rattle off stats and he's got to throw this many touchdowns and rush for this many yards and rush for this many touchdowns. More importantly, and most importantly, he has got to be that field general for South Carolina that we have lacked, it seems, for far too long, far too long. So be the field general, be the leader of this football team. Let your God-given ability work, run the system, run the offense. I think you'll have a successful year. Weston R30, can Will Doty return us to the glory days of 11-2? Well, here's the thing, man. Luke Doty alone cannot do it. No, Luke Doty alone can't do it. You got to have great players around you. Hey, Connor Shaw, love Connor, bro. He's a GOAT. He's the GOAT. He's a legend. He didn't do it by himself. He didn't do it by himself at all. He had a great defense. He had great players around him. He had a great offensive line. He had great receivers. He had great running backs. Connor Shaw didn't do it on his own. So can Luke Doty be that guy? I think so. Why not? But you got to get great football players around him. You got to go get some wide receivers. You got to continue to develop running backs. You got to continue to develop offensive linemen. You got to make the tight end position a strength yet again. Other things have got to happen. But, you put those guys around Luke Doty, I see no reason why he couldn't be that guy. I don't see any reason why he couldn't be that guy. Last question. Austin underscore Riggs 12. Which stat or stats will measure the success of Luke's first full year? Minimal turnovers. Yeah, I think, honestly, that's it. I think not turning the football over. I think as long as he does that, he will have a successful season. Because, again, we all know what he can do with his legs. I think he's a better passer than people give him credit for. Yeah, just don't turn the football over. You cannot do that. You cannot do that. He needs to be, like I said, take care of the football, of course, when you run, but use your athleticism, keep a defense off balance. When you do throw, be efficient, be accurate. You cannot be turning the football over. You simply cannot do it. South Carolina is not going to be a good enough football team, and most aren't, by the way, but the Gamecocks are not going to be a good enough football team to lose the turnover margin and get away with it and win games. It's simply not going to happen. So, yeah, Austin, I would say not turning the football over, protecting the football, that is priority number one. He has to do that in order to have personal success and for this team to have success as well. Guys, appreciate your questions. Thank you so much. By the way, guys, a quick content update before we get in our interviews. As you guys know, I am actually out of town this week going to Missouri to see my little brother who is graduating from basic training in Missouri this week. So again, really excited for that. I can't tell you guys just how pumped I am to see my brother. It's literally been since May since he left. So we're going to go see him. But what that means for content, podcast will roll on as normal. Today's show and Thursday's show, we'll have guest interviews. We'll have all that good stuff. Daily Crow today, no Daily Crow Tuesday through Friday. No Daily Crow Tuesday through Friday, guys. Again, I do apologize. Of course, as you guys know, we are on the road. We are out of town. And again, going to see the brother and support him. We're really proud of him. And I appreciate everybody that sent their love and positivity and all those comments, man. It really does mean the world. So thank you all. But that means no Daily Crow Tuesday through Friday. I'm going to try to do some creative stuff in regards to like Q&A and still obviously being interactive with you guys, and we're not going anywhere as far as social media and stuff like that, but just can't do the Daily Crow. We'll be busy Tuesday through Friday. So again, I appreciate y'all understanding. Be on the lookout though. Very, very soon, the Daily Crow will be expanding from 1 hour a day to 2 hours a day. The date that I am targeting is August the 23rd. The 23rd. August the 23rd, Monday the 23rd. To roll that out, get that going. I'll be dropping a promo graphic and all that good stuff. But again, we will be, instead of 12 to 1, we will be 12 to 2, the all-new, brand-new, expanded, better-than-ever-before Daily Crow. That will start the week before the week of kickoff. I think that's going to be the date. And again, I will drop a promo graphic and all that good stuff, and you guys will be in the loop, of course. But really, really exciting stuff. But again, no Daily Crow Tuesday through Friday. Also, guys, we will be playing the Clemson Tigers, closing out our season on Heisman. We'll be closing that out Sunday, this upcoming Sunday, this weekend, 7 o'clock. We're going to play them. I wanted to give you guys some time to regroup, put it on your calendar, look forward to it. So, again, we'll take on Clemson Sunday night, 7 o'clock. And then, guys, I think next week, we're actually going to begin our TSUS season preview simulation on NCAA, which is, I will literally sit there and we'll simulate it computer versus computer and we will watch together. I'm actually going to put together a schedule graphic so you guys are going to know exactly when every single one of those games is kicking off. Again, I appreciate y'all being cool, being flexible, obviously, with it being summer and going back and forth, helping out with family and just everything that's been going on this summer. I know that the schedule for the Dynasty stuff on Heisman was very, very all over the place, very inconsistent. That will not be the case for the simulations. I want to be sure everyone can tune in. So I will actually release a full schedule. So you guys are going to know each and every single game, when we're playing, what time, all that good stuff. So again, I appreciate y'all being cool, being flexible. And if you have any questions, please reach out to me and let me know. But thank you guys so much for love and support, man. It truly does mean the world. Thank you all. All right, cool. We got a great interview, great conversation. My guy, Gavin Bennett, former Gamecocks offensive lineman, and really the inspiration for the mullet that yours truly is rocking right now. But seriously, though, Gavin Bennett, awesome stuff. A hell of a conversation. I go into most conversations with people, guys, and I don't necessarily have like expectations, but there's certainly some guys that, because of how their career unfolded, you can kind of tell, okay, this is probably going to be a pretty neat conversation or what have you. But again, I don't really go into it with expectations. Gavin Bennett, though, the perspective he provided was, I mean, it truly blew me away in regards to his career and all the adversity he overcame. Gavin Bennett, in my opinion, guys, wise beyond his years. And it was a great conversation and really eye-opening, really enlightening. And again, one that I know you're sure to enjoy. So guys, sit back, relax, enjoy. It's all brought to you by our friends over at Manscaped. Guys, Manscaped, listen, listeners across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Houston, do we have a pube problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new lawnmower 4.0. Guys, kick your pubes to the next planet with a performance package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're in zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Guys, join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with the promo code TSUS20. Guys, we've all been there, right? We're trimming, we cut ourselves, we nick ourselves. It's bleeding, it's burning, it hurts. There's truly nothing worse, guys. Leave that in 2020. Are you ready for an out-of-world experience? Look no further than the Performance Package 4.0 from Manscaped that has just taken off in not only the USA, but Canada, the UK, across Europe, Australia, South Africa, and Singapore. They're global. Inside this package, you're going to find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver Ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance Boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your whole solar system. First schedule for liftoff, our new Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer. This spaceship is here to guide you on a journey to trim your body, balls, butt, and even Uranus. These Manscaped ad reads are just incredible. This fourth generation trimmer also features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Thanks to their advanced skin safe technology, the Lawnmower 4.0 is a 7,000 RPM motor. A new multifunction on and off switch can engage your travel lock and is even waterproof. The Lawnmower 4.0 also has a 4,000K LED spotlight that you can turn on and off when needed for a more precise shave throughout your travels across the universe. Guys, the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker. It's like having a little astronaut to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof and uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Guys, this nose and ear hair trimmer provides proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. And guys, don't forget to use the Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and their Crop Reviver to help your little planets be on their A-game while feeling the sun's heat. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag, Abort Hairy Balls, and Buzz Lightyear That Woody with Manscaped. Guys, gets 20% off and free shipping with the promo code TSUS20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the promo code TSUS20 at manscaped.com. For a clean Trinity and beyond, your space balls will thank you. Guys, again, thank you all so much for the love and support. Have a great rest of your day. Now, enjoy this conversation with former Gamecocks offensive lineman Gavin Bennett.
All right, joining us on the Spurs Up Show is a man that played for Gamecocks football from 2019 to 2020. He may be better known, though, for his off-the-field antics and specifically his mullet, named having Salcona's best mullet in Columbia, Salcona. If you went to any games a season ago, if you're fortunate enough to go, you probably know who I'm talking about. Former Gamecocks offensive lineman, Gavin Bennett. Gavin, my guy, appreciate you doing this, man. Thank you so much. And I know those that see you right now, unfortunately, the mullet is no longer. And I told you jokingly off air that I've sort of stolen your swag right here, I feel like a little bit. So I apologize if you feel like I was kind of I'm just trying to keep the mullets going in the spirit of what you started. I saw that. It inspired me. So thank you, my friend. But no, seriously, man, I appreciate you doing this. Appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Gavin, let's go back to the beginning for you. Just a few years ago, obviously, you graduated from South Point High School in Rock Hill, South Carolina, which, of course, if you've been following Gamecock football for any extended period of time, you know about South Point. It's obviously been a talent factory for South Carolina, some of the best players in school history going to South Point, coming from Rock Hill. But just talk about your high school career, recruiting for you. What was that like? Because, again, you were a walk-on, so I want to get to that more in just a second. But what was the process like for you? What made you decide to go to South Carolina, try your hand at, you know, playing for the Gamecocks, playing for Will Muschamp? Like, what was that thought process like for you? What was recruiting like for you, if you will?
Right. So at South Point, I was on varsity for all 4 years. Never really saw too much playing time up until about my junior year. And senior year, I started every single game. It was funny. I bawled my eyes out my last high school football game because I had zero offers. Mm-hmm. And but I had gone to the I've been a Gamecock fan my entire life. I've been going to games since I was a little kid. And I still toured USC. I was interested in going there, definitely for academics. At the time, I was hoping to be an engineering major. So I had applied to USC. And during winter break, I ended up getting accepted. Mm-hmm. Well, one of my buddies, Joe Irvin, he was my running back in high school. He now plays for Kansas State. And I was like, dude, how do I start getting, you know, offers? Like, I just want to walk on somewhere. I want to play college football. Don't really care where. What do I do? He says, dude, you got to make a Twitter and post your highlights. And I was like, okay, all right. So I stayed up all night making my highlight reel, doing all that. I posted on Twitter. Not a big social media guy. So this was like a big step for me. Mm-hmm. It had maybe been up for a week. And I remember I'm sitting in calculus class and I get a little notification and it's Matt Lindsay. And he's sitting there going, hey, we saw your highlight film. We'd really love to have a phone conversation with you tonight. I'm like, okay, somebody found out. They're trying to, like, play joke on me or something. I go home. I tell my parents. I'm like, you know, I think somebody's messing with me. And we looked at his account, and it was real. And I was like, there is absolutely no way. So me and Matt Lindsay chatted for a little while, and I ended up getting invited to the Akron game. I believe it was 2018.
Yep, end of the season, 2018. Yeah. Miserable weather game, by the way.
It was not. So the game was fun, but the weather was awful. I ended up leaving at halftime. But before that, me and my dad went and we spoke with Coach Wolford, and he offered me a walk-on position, and I absolutely bawled my eyes out. And it was an amazing experience for me because growing up, I just wanted, I loved Gamecock football and I'd always wanted to do it, but everybody had ever, I'm the first person in my family ever to do any kind of athletics at the next level, period, let alone like a D1 SEC program. So when he offered me, I couldn't help myself and I absolutely bawled my eyes crying. And, I remember that night, my dad goes, because at the time, I had the United States Coast Guard Academy had offered me for football, full scholarship, and then USC had offered me. And my dad goes, what are you thinking, man? I said, I'm going to USC. So from there, I kind of just I kept in contact with Coach, and I committed in February, and I decided I wanted to be a Gamecock from that day on.
Dude, that's an awesome story, man. That's the power of social media, I guess. You put it on there, and what do you know? It just happens. It's insane. It's crazy. Yeah,
absolutely.
So talk about being a walk-on. Again, I've had a couple of guys on the show that have been walk-ons before, and just some of the differences, I guess, in comparing and contrasting between being a walk-on versus being a scholarship player. But I feel like for you guys, and not speaking for you, but I feel like for you guys, the chemistry in the locker room was pretty good, where there wasn't this like big separation of, oh, you're a walk-on versus this. You know, we just saw Trey Adkins. We just saw him get put on scholarship. You see that every year. And it's always, you know, Parker White was one. It's always a really cool thing, like a heartfelt story. But, I saw something today actually of Scott Frost keeping the tradition going at Nebraska, like the walk-ons. Like, it's a very big deal. But just talk about for you, you know, did you ever think of yourself, like, did you ever feel like there was a difference between, you know, being you being a walk-on versus the scholarship guys? Now, obviously, there are some things that are not quite exactly the same. But, yeah, what was the experience overall of being a walk-on like for you?
So, personally, my experience, I would say, was different from a lot of people's. I'm not gonna throw names out there, but there was definitely times that it was made clear that I was a walk-on. And, you know, it's funny, like a lot of the guys, like Kinlaw, Brian Edwards, anytime they walked into the locker room, it's, hey, Gavin, good morning. How are you doing? You know, having normal conversations. And it was from my experience, I can't speak for everybody else's, but from my experiences, the players, they didn't care. You were their brother and they treated you as such. They didn't care if you were a walk-on, full scholarship, half scholarship, whatever. Now, from a specific coach's standpoint, it was made very clear to me that I was a walk-on, and that was my sole purpose, was to be a scout team player. I was not told that from the jump. That was made very apparent to me, I would say fall camp, freshman year. And, but you know, some people can sit there and take that different ways. Some people can say, you know, oh, I'm a scout team player. I'm never going to play. But I took that as a challenge because I wasn't supposed to be here in the first place. I'll never forget, my offensive coordinator in high school told me, he found out that I got offered. I didn't even tell him. And he goes, oh, maybe someday they'll feel bad for you and put you on PAT field goal when you're like a sixth-year senior. And I took that as a challenge. So, like when I, you know, and I'm not going to throw names out there, but there was a specific coach that pulled me aside. And he goes, you know, I had actually talked to him earlier. I'm like, coach, can I start getting some reps? I feel like I know the plays. And I think I can compete. He goes, that's not your role on this team. Your role is to line up in front of that guy and make him better. Mm-hmm. And I took that as a challenge. And you can ask any of those guys. I came out with an attitude every single day where I don't care if you're supposed to go to the NFL or you're a last string guy. I'm going to give you my 100%. But, you know, and for me, because Trey Atkins, I went to Bible study with him. We're still very good friends, even though I'm not still playing. And to see where he came from and where he is now, I can't be more proud of him. Great guy. I mean, there's never any question about his effort. And I'm happy for him. And I can sit there and I'm be like, oh, you know, I was a walk-on. I gave the same, if not more, effort or whatever. But at the end of the day, I think of anybody, I think Trey deserved it more than anyone. He's a team player. He's a great guy. But how do I say this? When it comes to the different positions, walk-ons were treated very differently. If I'm going to be honest, I was there for 2 years and never received a playbook. I used to, because we have our little key cards. Right. I asked the coach, I said, can I get a playbook? He said, no. I said, okay. So what I used to do was I used to go and sneak into the offices after the coaches left every day. And I would go on their computer. I figured out the password. It was like easy. It was like 123 something. It was like Gamecocks 123. I'd type in that and I would just sit there and I would play the clips, look at the plays, and I'd write them down in a little journal. And so the scholarship guys got iPads.
Yeah.
I didn't have the pleasure of getting the iPads. So instead of like looking at the playbook and watching the clips at home, I'd sneak over there like 9:30 and I would just sit there and I'd write down meticulously every single play. And I'd watch all the practice film. And I'm like, okay, I didn't do good on this play. And I'd write down in my notes because I didn't get to watch myself in the meetings and stuff like that. Right. And yeah, so, I mean, I can't speak for every position group, nor every player's experience, but in my time there, I definitely felt that I was a walk-on, but for some reason, I just took it different. I'm like, why can't I be the greatest walk-on ever? Why can't I be the biggest team player? Why can't I be one of the guys? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when given adversity, you can sit there and you can roll over and you can take it, or you can say, come on, I want more. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I chose to do, because I, you know, I'm a go-getter. I the first day I stepped out there, I was 50 pounds underweight. I'm like, why am I not starting? Like, because I think I'm awesome and I'm going to give 100% effort. Right. But, you know, and, you know, the dice rolled the way they did. And, you know, I wasn't that guy. But as you were saying earlier, like with the mullet thing, I tried to take that to the next level. If I can't be the best player on the field, why can't I be the best player on the sideline? Why can't I get the crowd hype, you know? So, but yeah, that was my walk-on experience. It was definitely made clear to me, you know, you are here to be a walk-on and a scout team player solely. And, you know, that's how it happened, but, you know, I'm a better man for it. So
that's a wild and awesome story. Just everything you just said, like, absolutely crazy. And you know what's crazy too, man, Gavin, is the years that you were on the team were some of the wackiest and craziest years I feel like we've ever seen at Gamecock football. Mm-hmm. Starting in 2019, where, you know, your senior quarterback gets hurt after the first game, and of course after game one of the 2019 season, that's when I actually had my 5 minutes of fame, and 30,000 views later, Firewall Munch champ. Here we are now, years later. But so that happened. But that whole season was madness. Ryan Helinski, a true freshman, gets the nod at quarterback the rest of the year, and the ups and the downs and the struggles of that year. And then, of course, last year. I mean, being a college football player or a college athlete during COVID, we're not even knowing if we're going to have a season. And, you know, you having to go through all the tests and this and that. And, I mean, just to even be able to play was pure madness. I mean, you look back on those two seasons. We'll start in 2019. And of course, I talked about Will Muschamp, you know, your previous coach. And of course, we're starting the Shane Beamer era. But with Will Muschamp, that 2019 season, I guess, would you have ever imagined your two seasons being on the football team would have been just as really as wacky as they were in different ways, if you will?
That was the last thing I was thinking about. And it's funny because I grew up kind of watching Jake Bentley. I used to go to the games and I'd wave at him, you know, waving all the players when they're leaving the locker room or exiting, all that stuff. And it was my first day, I show up to summer training, Jake Bentley sitting there, and I'm like shaking, sweating. I'm like, oh my God, that's Jake Bentley. Like, and he comes right up to me and goes, hey, what's your name? I'm like, oh, I'm Gavin. He goes, oh, dude, welcome to Gamecock football, man. How are you doing? Like, where are you from? Stuff. And I'm just like, I couldn't even talk. I was so excited. He's a team guy. He definitely right. cared about the team, and he was always encouraging people and all that. And to see how that kind of folded out was kind of not only rough on him, but it was rough on me, because I kind of grew up with him being an idol to me. But from there, man, it was kind of downhill. It's just, especially, I mean, freshman year was kind of a culture shock for me, because I didn't expect college football to be the way it was. And kind of chiming off, you know, what I was talking about earlier with the whole walk-on thing, it was really hard for me to get into that groove of kind of figuring out like my schedule between balancing school and football. It was a really rough mix for me. And once again, I'm not going to say names, but there was a specific coach that just made my life absolute hell. I'll tell you what, so Fridays, the way Fridays work is the players come in, the guys that are traveling or are dressing for the games, rather. They come in at noon, and keep in mind, I've been up at 5 o'clock every day. Right. I'd have to be in an hour early. I'd have to be in an hour early to watch. Say we're playing Kentucky. I'm watching Kentucky's their game film, and I was a scout team left guard. So I'm not going to say names. This coach would have me there at 5:15 in the morning watching Kentucky's left guard. And he'd be like, Gavin, why are you not more like this guy? I'm like, Coach, I don't know. I don't know these plays. I don't know what they're doing. And he's like, yeah, you need to be more like this guy. I'm like, okay. So we'd go out there and we'd run their plays.
Right.
And so I've been doing this for days. And it's Friday. And Friday is usually like the sleep-in day. You catch up on your sleep. You show up. They've got food for you. Right. It's 12 o'clock. You go to chapel. And then you go to the hotel. Mm-hmm. The walk-ons and the guys that did not dress were there at 6 a.m., no breakfast, no nothing, and they called it a gogi. And I'm not going to say the name, but there was this coach sweared by it. He loved doing it on Fridays, and he would have us there. The sun wasn't even up. And you walk out there, and you're like, okay, so we just got a normal lift, no big deal. No, there were coaches – strength coaches, black face paint, bulletproof vest, and like AC/DC blaring. And they would have you in the indoor crawling around. They would have us like chained up, crawling out like to the song that we come out of the tunnel to.
Right.
And being like, if you're not gonna run out to this in full uniform, you're gonna crawl to it. And they just make us crawl to it. And you know, we had these grueling workouts. Stuff I like, I'm not even gonna lie, I shed a tear one time. It was so bad. Like, and I love working out. That was my favorite part. But it was just some stuff I'm like, there's no way like any human can like should be able to do this stuff.
Right.
And thank God my partner was 6'7", like 330 pounds, and he could help me with some of the weights that we were doing, but it was nuts. And so that was like a every Friday thing for the season for me.
In season too. In season. That's crazy.
Oh yeah. And it was rough because, you know, kind of towards the end of the first season, it kind of got rough for us. But we were there 6 a.m. doing that. And that was kind of my first year experience. Nothing really stuck out to me too much. It was just kind of my role of I'm a scout team left guard going against Javon Kinlaw every day. That was great. you know, you got to keep in mind at the time, I was trying to put on weight. I've always had a really hard time putting on weight.
Right.
I'm putting on weight and I'm like 260, 270. I'm already underweight. And Javon Kinlaw is coming at me at 8 a.m. every day, just bull rushing me. And it's funny, he'd put me on my butt. I didn't even stand a chance. Yeah. But, you know, I'd be on my back and all I could see is him, arm out, picking me up, and he slaps me on the ass and he's like, keep up the good work, man. No, and damn well I didn't do a good job, but I tried my best. And that whole thing kind of got me, you know, mentally prepared for my second season. And then, of course, COVID hit. That was really strange. But I got into a really good weight training program while I was home. And I put on the weight. I started, you know, putting up numbers as far as workouts and stuff like that. So it's weird. I actually came back better prepared than I was for my first season. So second season, I was all in. I was pedal to the metal, ready to go, ready to compete. And I would say like in the fall camp times and stuff like that, I was doing fairly well. I was finally able to compete with some of the guys because I actually had the size. And God, that season was rough. And
I was just going to say, being a college athlete, having to go through the weekly grind of the COVID testing. And like, I'd love to hear, because again, I think you have obviously very unique perspective on that going through it literally last season.
Yeah, so it was strange. So beginning of when we got back, both of my roommates tested positive for COVID.
Wow.
Back to back. So I did my 14-day period. I had one day off. I was literally about to come back, and then my other roommate tested positive. So I was in quarantine for 28 days in the middle of summer training.
I was playing like, a lot of Xbox. I imagine you had to be playing a lot of Xbox or something.
Oh, I was maxed out level on everything in Call of Duty. I could have gone pro in that. I was literally, that's all I was doing was running duos and trios on Warzone. But so I was like, I ended up getting back and I was ready to go, whatever. And it was Wednesday before we played Tennessee, season opener. And my throat was a little scratchy and I was like, no big deal. Probably slept. I was snoring. Probably had some cheeseburger lodged in my throat or something from stuffing myself. And the next day I get a phone call. You got COVID. You got to go into quarantine immediately. I was like, oh my God. So after doing 30 days almost in quarantine, I'm back for a month and then I go back into quarantine. And that was awful. I ate Cheetos every day. I think I had 2 bottles of water, but I was still getting really good at Call of Duty. and then when I got back, I was like, I just got to go balls to the wall. Because if I have any chance of even competing, I got to go in.
Right.
So I really started – I feel like that's where I really started to blossom. I kind of had a new edge to me. I'm like, I haven't been here. They're not expecting much from me. Why not give them my all? Why not just try and show them something? Well, once again, he shall not be named, but there was this one coach, and he just made my life hell. Made sure I know that I wasn't worth anything, and he told me that multiple times. And I just said, screw it. Screw it. So I just started going absolutely nuts at practice, like, just going all out. And so a couple of weeks go by. I think it was either the 3rd or 4th week. It was Auburn. And I'd been growing out that quarantine mullet, and I was like, I'm ready for the USC fans to see this. So I pulled out my my shades,
the Pit Vipers. And,
I was like, I don't know why. I think so. In the locker room, they used to have these things. They're called finger gummies. And, you know, I'm not even going to lie to you. I knew I wasn't playing. I didn't even get – I think I dressed like 3 games my entire career. So Friday night, I'd pull a bender. I'd just go all out. I'd be at Moosehead or Pavs or whatever till 2 a.m. I'd come home. I'd wake up and have a Gatorade, and I'd walk to the stadium. And
that Auburn game was like a noon game, I think.
Yeah. We had to be there like 8 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm going off like 4 hours of sleep. Right. I go in there, and I'm hungry. I remember I was so hungry. I wanted to stop at McDonald's, but I didn't have time. So I go in there, and there's these little stinger gummies. I'm like, oh, dude, I would kill for some gummies right now. So I just take like 5 packs of them, start chugging them, eating them, whatever. The nutritionist comes up to me and goes, did you eat all those stinger gummies? I'm like, yeah. What's the big deal? She goes, those are like caffeine, like gummies or whatever. And I don't drink. I've never had coffee, never had nothing. I was absolutely wired for that game. I was like, I was bouncing off the wall. So when I walked out there, I had those shades on and the mullet going, and I didn't think nothing of it because I was just like, I'm out there having fun. I'm doing my thing. I'm going to have fun. So I'm running around. We're scoring. I'm like going nuts, whatever. And this specific coach that decided to make my life hell goes, take those things off. They look freaking silly. Like, no. So I just kept them on and I kept running around, and I ended up getting in a lot of trouble for it, but I'm glad it happened because I'm walking home from the game. I lived at Stadium Suites at the time. So gotcha. I was walking back. It's like 1/2 mile, no big deal. And I'm walking down the street and some guy goes, that's the mullet guy. I was like, that's the first time I've ever heard that.
Right.
I go, what? He goes, oh yeah, you're that guy number 67 running around with the mullet and the glasses. I was like, yep, that's me. And then all of a sudden my social media is blowing up. I've got videos of me running around, and there's people like, who's this guy? Like, whatever, and tagging me. I'm getting tagged in all this stuff. And I'm like, okay, all right, I'm going to keep it up. So kind of the whole rest of the season after that for me was, okay, so I'm being told by this coach that I'm not good enough. I'm the scout team guy. It's my second year at it. He's obviously not going to play me. I'm going to just have fun. And I'm going to go to practice. I'm going to work my ass off. And then I'm going to let this mullet thing on the sidelines take over. So I did that for a long time. And kind of towards the end with the whole Muschamp thing, things kind of started to escalate, not only between the coaches, but between the coaches and the players and the players on players. It was a really rough environment, and it was kind of hard to succeed in it. Not only because, you know, like, morale's low, you're over halfway through the season. You don't even think you're making a bowl game. So you're kind of playing for nothing at this point. And of course, Muschamp gets fired, which that's, I mean, from my personal experience, I never really got to talk to Muschamp much. But when I did, they were very insightful conversations and meaningful conversations. I give him a lot of props because the whole fire Muschamp thing, I get that. And I think it was time for a change, but I don't solely blame Muschamp. I truly believe it was the culture of the team, and not necessarily him, but the people who he hired.
Right.
I think a lot of guys were in for the money, and they didn't really care about the players as long as they were getting paid at the end of the day. And it kind of made it like a, not necessarily like a team. It was like almost like an individual thing. Like, oh, I'm so and so. This team's about me. I'm gonna be the best guy, whatever. And a team can't function like that. So towards that end, it got really rough, and me and that coach got into it. I'll never forget the best conversation I ever had. I played more defensive line than I did offensive line just because they needed somebody to hit. And I was like, all right, fine. I'm out here. I'm paying to do this. I'm paying tuition to do this. I might as well just, line up and take it. So I'm going against guys who are now in the NFL, and I'm like, I got this big neck pad. I don't care. I'm like, I'm just running at him as hard as I can. And I think I go in the wrong gap or something. Coach goes, what are you doing? Are you stupid or something? I'm like, no, sir. Sorry, sir. I'll fix it, sir. I was always very polite. And he goes, no, like, actually, are you stupid? And I'm like, no, sir. I'm sorry. And he just keeps yelling at me. And I look at him. I said, are you serious right now? I was like, I'm doing something for you. I apologize and I'll do better. He goes, no, that's not going to cut it. When are you going to wise up? I said, I looked at him dead in the face. I go, okay. And he goes, what do you mean by that? Oh, are you talking shit? And he gets all in my face. And I look at him. I go, what the hell are you going to do? Take my scholarship away? And he got absolutely infuriated at me. And the situation made light because a lot of the guys thought it was hilarious because I don't say much. If coach says jump, I say how high. That's one thing I can pride myself on is I worked my butt off, and I did anything and everything I could to help that team out. And that coach just was chewing me out. And I was like, I don't care. You're going to be gone soon. I don't care. I'm going to still be here. I'm having fun. Screw you. And he was like, do you even know who I am? I'm from somewhere in Ohio. I don't even remember what he said. I was like, I don't even know where that is. I don't even know who the hell you are. I don't care. And that was just like, that was kind of the turning point for me where I was like, I like doing this, but is it worth it for me? And that's kind of at the point where I was like, I'm kind of over this. I think it's time for me to move on. And I'll never forget, it was my dad to my left and that coach was in front of me. And he looks at me and he goes, I want you to give me 2 years to develop. And because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take those 2 years. Don't quit on me. I'm going to be rough on you. Do not quit. Do that 2 years. And this is my second year. And I'm like, dude, this is, I promised, I like, I'm not going to quit. I'm not a quitter. I've never quit anything in my entire life. Even if I'm failing a class, I've never even dropped it. I'll bring it up to see whatever. Mm. I don't quit. I was raised that way. I said, you know what? And this is like, we've got like 4 or 5 weeks left in the season at this point. I'm like, screw it. I just got to go hard. It's my last, I was like, this is where I think I can rest my head. If I really devote myself to this team for the next 4 or 5 weeks, I can sleep at night knowing that I'm okay with being done. So those last weeks, I just grinded myself out. And then at that point, Muschamp's gone, Bobo takes over. And that's when I kind of started seeing the bright side of it. I got to dress, which was awesome. That was like a big moment for me. I kind of felt, if I could, I'd like to compare myself to Rudy. You know, like a little guy goes out there, has no business being out there whatsoever. And I get put on my butt and I get right back up and keep going. And I finally got to dress. I was like, all right, Rudy's in the building. We're ready to go. I'll never forget. It was my last game. I had played in that stadium in high school 4 times. We were three-time state champions. I'd gone to the game before that. It was my 8th grade year, so I didn't actually play. But I had been in that stadium multiple times, and I always told myself, I want to play on this field one day. I never got to step foot on the actual field and play during my tenure here, but it was my last game. And I just did a lap, and I walked around. I took it all in. I was like, you know, everybody had told me my entire life, I can't do this. You know, even my coach in high school told me, yeah, you're lucky if you even see PAT. Props to him. I never even got on the field. But the fact that I did what I did, you know, nothing beats that. I could say that I did it. I did it for 2 years. And guys that play, they know. It's not easy. And, you know, for me, like, I'm a walk-on. I'm nobody. You know, you walk into a class, oh, there's so-and-so. Oh, he was a 5-star recruit, whatever. Who's this fat kid sitting next to me? Oh, well, he actually plays football. Oh, okay. Don't know who he is. Don't care. But for me to just, it was almost a breathtaking moment. Seats were empty. I was the last person in there. I was just walking around the field, and I was like, I did it. And I packed up my stuff, and I never looked back. I went to one more meeting, and that was when Beamer came for the first time. And it was almost something came over me, because I took my cleats, all that stuff. I put it in a trash bag, and I threw it over my shoulder. I started walking out, and I was like, this meeting's in like 10 minutes. You know what? I'll just go. It's on my way out. I go, and I sit, and I see Beamer talk, and I'm like, this guy's going to change something around here. And for a split second, I thought to myself, why don't I go put my stuff back and hang around for a little bit? I ended up not. You know, I walked out that door and I never looked back. And, you know, my experience with Gamecock football has been good and bad. I think I came at a weird time, for sure, between you know, the exit of Muschamp and COVID and all that stuff. But it changed a lot of how I thought about stuff. And I'm happy that I did it. And I've made some friends for life. Me and Hutch, Sedarius Hutchison, Warzone partners. Me and him tear it up. Me and Javon Kinlaw, we still, you know, I'll text him every once in a while, see how he's doing. You know, and the guys check in on me every once in a while, because those are your brothers. You're going to war with those guys every day. And I was feisty. I like to talk shit. So, you know, I get in these guys' face, I get in their grill. But at the end of the day, I'll sit down, I'll go make a plate, and I'll sit down with them at lunch. Because those are your brothers. And the fact that, you know, they cared more about me than the coach, mm-hmm. You can't beat that. So, My tenure over those 2 years was definitely, it was interesting, but I'm happy that it happened.
For sure. No, I want to get back to, you know, on the lighthearted side of things, Gavin, get back to the mullet craze that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Was that expected? I mean, did you think that was going to get, because again, I'm looking on Google, like if you Google Gavin Bennett mullet, it's just like articles on articles on articles of about your mullet. The Daily Gamecock wrote an article. The Athletic wrote an article, which is obviously a huge platform. Yeah. And then I think you were, I don't know, did you win the SEC's best mullet or was it somebody
else? I did.
Okay,
I
so
did.
You won that too. I remember I've seen your video like 100 times of your best mullet, you know, whatever, your campaign, if you will. But did you ever in your wildest dreams expect that to be like the you know, what was to come after you debuted the mullet for the Auburn game, if you will?
Absolutely not. It's funny because I sat there and I'm a big TikTok guy. I love making TikToks. Yeah. And the quarantine like mullet thing was a huge trend. And at the time I had hair like down to here and I was like, what, you know, like, do I want to keep growing it out? What do I want to do? And I was like, look, I'm a sophomore in college. There's only one time to have a mullet. So I went.
Unless you're the Spurs up show.
Right, of course. No, but I'm sitting there, I'm like, I'm super particular about who cuts my hair.
Right.
So, and I hadn't had my hair cut in like 2 years. So I was like, I went to this like super nice salon. And I walk in there, I'm like, can I please have a mullet? They're like, okay, what do you actually want? I was like, I want a mullet. So they cut my mullet and I literally went home right after that and I ordered the shades. I was like, you know, it's two parts that come into one. You got to have the shades and you got to have the mullet. So, and you know, it's funny, like everyone's like, oh, why do you got a mullet? Like whatever. And then, I don't know. Like, it just like, it's like, it almost came on me like all at once. And I'm like, yo, this mullet thing's kind of taken off, I guess, after that Auburn game. I didn't think nothing of it.
As someone told me about my mullet, it's like you don't choose the mullet chooses you.
Oh yeah, so. Absolutely. And you know, only some people can pull it off. Obviously you pull it off great.
I appreciate that.
I think I did okay too. But yeah, it was weird. I'd be anywhere. I went to TLC one time. It was for the Vandy game because I didn't get to travel. Right. So I was there. And some guy comes up to me and goes, you're the mullet guy. I'm like, yeah. He goes, please let me get a picture. So we both have a picture of us with our mullets, like, posing. And it was just awesome, you know. And it was a cool way for me to really, like, branch out in college, meet new people. Because that's another thing. And, like, I didn't really talk to anybody because I didn't really have a lot of on-campus, like, interactions. Because with COVID and football and stuff, I wasn't able to go to different, like, events on campus and stuff. So, you know, people started noticing me as the mullet guy and started, you know, inviting me to little, like, events and stuff like that. And I thought that was awesome. But I never thought it would be much. I just kind of took it and rolled with it. And I was like, why not, you know, use it as an opportunity to have fun and, you know, meet new people and stuff like that. Fortunately, because this internship I got, I'm in an office. So I was like,
yeah.
Probably not a great idea to be walking around with a collared shirt and a mullet, but I ended up cutting it, but it is coming back for 2022. I guarantee it.
We love that. We love that. And sir, I will say this about your mullet. There's a reason you won the SEC's best mullet. That thing was absolutely glorious, my friend. Like I said, you inspired me. You inspired me. So I appreciate that. Something you touched on, Gavin, a little bit before, and obviously, again, we're sitting here right now. We're 34 days away from kickoff. Obviously, what Shane Beamer has done this preseason, and I really just don't think you could have scripted a better, you know, first preseason, offseason, if you will, for Shane Beamer, what he's done. I mean, literally 12 commitments in the month of June, the way he's flipped the energy, the momentum. It's absolutely crazy after what he walked into. But you mentioned you were at that very, very first meeting that I'm assuming was the one that was at the indoor facility.
Yeah.
I obviously without going into too much detail, because I know there's things that have to stay behind closed doors, but I just love to hear your thoughts on what he said initially. I mean, what was the impression he left on you in regards to, I know you're really excited about Shane Beamer in the future of Gamecock football, as am I. What did you take away from that meeting, though? Because obviously, like you said, it was a positive meeting. It was something you were considering, you know, hey, maybe should I stick it out? Should I play? But what was said by Shane Beamer? What did you take away from his first meeting after getting the job?
Right. It was weird. He came in and I didn't really expect much. I'm literally have my bag full of like my practice cleats that I've had since like freshman year. I'm like about to walk out the door. I'm angry. And I sit there and I'm listening to him talk. And coming from like, a coaching staff prior that literally would like scream in your face. He came in very poised. And I'd never really seen a coach carry himself that way at this level. And one of the lines that stuck out to me the most was, I don't expect you to come in here and trust me. I have to earn your trust. And I was like, from that point on, I was like, this guy knows what he's doing. He really cares about these guys. Because, you know, the environment prior was, you're going to listen to what I say and you're going to do it, or you're off this team, or you're not going to contribute at all. And for him to just sit there and, you know, be like, guys, you know, I've been hired as your new coach. You didn't pick me. I didn't pick any of you guys. I didn't recruit any of you. But we're going to turn this place around. If you just trust in me, but first I got to earn your trust. And I was just like, wow. I mean, how do you not like that guy? You know, and I was just like, God, I was literally driving home from there. And I was just like, I really have really high hopes for this team. I think things are going to turn out really good for him. I'm definitely a fan of Beamer Ball. So, and it's weird. I can almost see like the little twinkle in the guy's eyes when they're talking about football. It used to be like, yeah, football practice, it sucked, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Now they're actually excited to go into the building. They're like, I love this coach. Especially speaking with some of my fellow offensive linemen who kind of had similar experiences with me. They're like, I love Beamer. I think he's a great coach. He hired really great coaches, like position groups and the weightlifting group and all that stuff. They love it. And, you know, it's for me personally, the first thing I noticed about him was just like I could tell he was a culture guy. He didn't care where you came from, how many stars you had, whatever. I think he was intent on building that, you know, kind of the welcome home thing. It's that culture. It's when you walk into the building, there's fundamental, there's really just things that you have to live by. And kind of the guys that he kind of laid them out in that first meeting, kind of just kind of explained like what his philosophy is and stuff like that. And I just took him for not only a great guy, but I think he's going to be a great coach. That first meeting really took me by storm. And I'm going to be honest, if it wasn't for rugby that I'm doing now, I probably would have stayed just based off that first time meeting him. And I've heard that like my horror stories that I've had, it's not like that anymore. A lot of the guys get opportunities to show themselves and he's just really easygoing. Obviously he has a business to run, you know, SEC football. It's not a joke. I'll tell you that right now. But, and he knows that, but he gives every guy and treats every guy. He gives him every opportunity in the world and he's a great guy.
For sure. Now, Gavin, there's probably nobody that knows this football team better than you, obviously playing on the team last year. And as we come into this season, of course, like you said, you're still buddies and friends with all those guys. So you know the ins and outs of this football team and what returns to SouthCon in 2021. Because, of course, right now, as we count down the days, people like myself, others, we're breaking it down. We're getting in the nitty-gritty. We're talking about this roster, strengths, weaknesses. You know, we're making predictions, all that good stuff. When you look at this football team overall, things you like, things you want to see improve. I mean, obviously, I know we're really optimistic and excited. But like you said, it's a business. And, hey, all these good vibes, and we're in the honeymoon phase, if you will, because, hey, SouthCon's going to have to line up in 34 days and go play football, right? They're going to have to go play an SEC schedule. But overall, I mean, again, you know the ins and outs of this football team. What do you like? Obviously, you were part of an offensive line that paved the way for Kevin Harris, what he did last year. You get Marshawn Lloyd back from injury. I think you and I would probably agree the running game is going to be the strength of this team. You got a brand-new quarterback and Luke Doty. which I know you and I both really excited to see him get his opportunity. Then a retooled defense as well. And, oh, by the way, a brand new coaching staff. So what are you expecting from Gamecocks football in Beamer's first year?
Wow.
And I'm not asking you to make like a prediction or anything, but just overall feelings of the team. Because like I said, you know this team better than I would probably say anybody. You were literally on it last year. So
I'm optimistic. I'll say that. I think offense is going to have I think they're going to have a heyday. I think they're – I'm really relying on that run game because I know my offensive linemen. Those are my boys, and I know they're going to move some bodies. So I definitely see Kevin Harris. I like to see him get, you know, SEC top rusher this year, personally, because I know how those offensive linemen are. They're nasty guys. I want to see them move some big boys up front. I'm excited to see Luke because he's also quick. So, you know, he's not just a passing threat. He's a running threat, too. So I'm really excited about the offense in general because I'm an offensive guy. I like having the ball. So I'm really optimistic to see how the offense is, and especially with the defense. That defensive line is looking pretty stout between – I mean, we got Zach Pickens returning, right? We got J.J., Jay Birch. We got all those guys. I know the linebacker group is great. The secondary is going to be awesome. So, I'm actually really excited to see that. I think my personal prediction, I'm going to be optimistic, and I'm going to say we're going to win 8 games.
I love it. I'd love to see that. I got 6-6 right now, but I think that's fair. No, I think that's fair.
I'm happy with 6-6. If we're going to a bowl game, I'm ecstatic, personally.
Yeah. Bowl game in year one of Beamer, I think, would be a success. But, hey, while we're at it, why not just win those other two and get to 8-4? I agree.
Why not?
I agree. but this has been a pleasure, man. This has been a blast. Last thing before I get you out of here, and normally I'm asking questions like favorite memory at South Carolina or funniest story, if you will. But, you know, you've kind of shed some light on that. But really quickly, I'd love to hear your perspective on this, just giving a piece of advice to maybe somebody who's tuned in listening who – you know, maybe they have a kid or there's somebody who wants to walk onto a football team or they're just trying to overcome some adversity. And I feel like you have done that. I love your perspective. I love your attitude. You faced it head on. What would be your advice to people, whether it be, you know, they want to achieve and overcome in college athletics or just school or just life in general? What do you say?
I say, you know, it's my favorite, quote. It's not about how many times life knocks you down. It's about how many times you get back up and keep moving forward. You know, you can literally anything in life, you can sit there. You have two options. You can sit there and you can take it and let life beat you down, or you can overcome it and be better from it. You know, to the guys that, you know, and the mullet thing kind of helped with this. A lot of people started messaging me on Instagram talking about, you know, how I want to walk on. How do I do it? Literally chase those dreams. You can literally do anything you put your mind to. For me, I was always the undersized guy in high school. I was 240 pounds as a left tackle in high school. So for me to even be, you know, on the USC football team was absolutely like unquestioned, like not – sorry, my friend's messing with me, but it was, for me, it was never an option to quit. And to those people that say, I don't know if I can do it, people are telling me I can't, there's only one way to find out, and that's to try. But you have to give 100% effort if you expect anything out of it. Just chase those dreams. That's really my only advice, is if you're going to do something, do it 100% and keep trucking on, because at some point it's either going to pay off or you're going to sit there and go, oh, maybe it didn't work out. But I, at the end of the night, I can rest my head and say, I gave 100% effort. For me, didn't work out. But I'll tell you what, I play rugby now and I am more happy than I have ever been, probably in the last like 5 years. And, but football made me the man I am today. So I'm thankful for that. But for anybody out there that's like, you know, I want to do this, but I can't. Just do it, because there's only one way to find out how it goes.
Yeah. Very wise words, Gavin. I love that. Love your perspective, man. Love your attitude. Again, I appreciate you coming on. This was an absolute blast, an absolute pleasure. And obviously, we'll have to get you in studio. I know you and I are damn near neighbors now, so we'll have to get you in studio. But we got a lot of time to do it. And definitely would love to have you back on sometime during the season. But, you know, I can tell you this, man. It's been a pleasure to meet you, getting to know you. And obviously, it's funny how life comes full circle, because I certainly remember seeing you last year on TV. And, you know, it was great. It was great for me content-wise. So I appreciate that. So, no, seriously, Gavin, I appreciate you taking the time, man. This was a blast, seriously.
Absolutely, and thank you for having me. I always love these conversations that we have, so.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Well, Gavin, like I said, we'll have you back on, no doubt. We'd love to talk some Gamecocks football, but, yeah, in the meantime, man, like I said, keep it up. Keep up the good work. Keep up that attitude. Good things are going to happen for you, my friend. I appreciate you.
Sure. Yeah, keep making the mullet at the move, please.
The mullet is the move.
Keep the mullet alive.
Mullet and then rooster cut coming soon. We'll have to keep that a secret till kickoff. But now I appreciate you, man. He's Gavin Bennett. I'm Chris Phillips. We appreciate you guys tuning in. And we'll catch you next time on another episode of the Spurs Up Show.